tacos. Go all out on 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 tacos. Go all out.
This is Janet McKean from Caro, and you're listening to WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM, hands-on radio.
The Catskill Town Board meets every first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at the Catskill Town Hall and holds a committee meeting the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. You can turn out in person at the Catskill Town Hall to speak at these meetings or tune in to a live web stream through the Catskill Town Board and WGXC. Go to wgxc.org/listen or click on the listen button at wgxc.org to tune in to any of the Catskill Town Board meetings, the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. and the third Wednesday of the month at 6:30 p.m. at wgxc.org and townofcatskillny.gov.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at wgxc.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Christian Swenningson of Stuyvesant, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Okay, now I hope we can go on recording like this. I think it will stay down. Good, let's go.
Sound of an unperplexed wren. No comment necessary. Cardinal, meadowlark, cardinal, flycatcher. Voice of the tape, a comment on the silence of the hermitage. The silence commented on also by birds. Now some experimental reading. A piece of Samuel Beckett. Abstract, like a painting, two-dimensional. The colors, it is flat, but fascinating. Something like clay, Paul Clay. Has a strange effect, like a message of spies. Definitely affected by the media that we use. The end of the piece sounds almost metaphysical. An interesting piece of writing. I wonder how it sounds. Perhaps I'll play it back in a minute. Sounds very good. What it brings out is the monotony of the language and of the syntax, evading complicated statements, simply stringing together nouns and adjectives and so on, seems to emphasize the metaphysical silence behind the person, the persons that he is talking about. And in the end, the silence is emphasized as being metaphysical. This is a piece which does manifest the silence. The perplexity is very subdued in it. And this is the right kind of perplexity, not an emphatic perplexity, but a subdued and deep awareness that everything is perplexed, and that in this getting back to a concrete elemental awareness of the things without anything that we have added to them, without any comment of our own, seeing them in their bareness, their way of merging into each other, their flatness, taking away the perspective that we have put into everything, seeing them again as flat, allowing them to make their own different perspective of something underneath which we have not presupposed, which we have not put there. Honest, Beckett. Sunday morning, April 30th. The bell's ringing down in the monastery for Lauds. It's a dark, gray morning. It may rain later. I want to record some thoughts
from, again, Ibn Arabi, on Islam and on the relation of the Lord to creatures and the relation of the Lord to nature. Nature is described by Ibn Arabi as the breathing of God. All being is grounded in the divine breath. The Prophet says, "He who wants to know the divine breath must try to know the world, for he who knows himself knows his Lord." We seek our Lord then in the midst of the creatures which he has breathed out and which he breathes out around us, and while he breathes us out also, and then he will breathe in and take us all back into himself, and we will realize that all the time we were he. Sounds, a bright morning. The sound of water dripping in the bucket is to be heard beside the wren and the other birds out there. For Ibn Arabi, water is the most appropriate symbol of life. He says the secret of life is in the act of flowing peculiar to water. Watery element is for him the most fundamental element. Of course, what he's saying there is simply that he's simply expressing an intuition of dynamism, movement, and becoming in all things. A sense of vitalism and of life in everything, corresponding to his idea of God's mercy breathing into everything. Of course, the breathing would suggest that air is the most subtle element, as some of these other metaphysicians would have said. In any case, for him, water symbolizes the life that runs through everything, and to be immersed in water is a baptism in life, to be baptized in life. I would say that would be a very good symbol of the hermit life, to be totally baptized in the silence and the flow and the reality of life, and thereby to know the full reality of existence.
Good morning, everyone. We just heard some archival recordings by Cistercian monk and writer Thomas Merton. He made alone these recordings in his Kentucky hermitage in 1967, along with, these recordings were put together with newly composed music by Brian Hernity. This is pretty new recordings, new release titled Wars and Silences, and we heard two tracks from it. The first one was Sound of an Unperplexed Wren, and then the second one was Breeze Water Silence. You're listening to Bequency on Waveforms WGXC Radio. This is a radio program about birds and bird people in our community in Columbia and Greene counties and surrounding areas here in the Hudson Valley. And today is the very first episode of this program. So thank you for joining me today. My name is Mayuko, and I'm the host of this program, Bequency. I do not hold any degrees in any field that has ology at the end. I was just one of those people who are kind of just too busy struggling just to survive and didn't really know how to truly pay attention to all the wonderful things in the natural world right around us, and yet I didn't quite see it in the past. So it was literally an eye-opening, ear-opening experience for me when I started birding. You know, we don't just know how to see things or listen, or we don't just know even how to breathe. We kind of have to learn it. It's easy for us to live with those functions on autopilot mode, but you have to be an active participant to truly perceive anything in the world, and that's kind of what birding has taught me. But then I started to think that I've been given these great gifts from the natural world and birding, and now I started to wonder, what is it that I could do to give back in return, despite not having like special, you know, expertise or like super deep knowledge in natural science? Like, could it there be anything one can do? Could it be volunteering, or even just becoming a like a thoughtful human being, or what exactly can I do? And so I decided to explore exactly that, what one can do to kind of give back through this program, Bequency, you know, to truly appreciate, and what is it that one can do. And I want to explore it by speaking with local bird enthusiasts here in our own community to learn from them, and also to listen to people like musicians and stuff through their work, whose work are inspired by birds. So I'm trying to get, you know, kind of inspired all these people myself, and I hope it does to you too. The first local bird person I interviewed for this program is Dave Decker. Dave Decker is the land steward of Reinstrom Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary in Hillsdale, Columbia County. This interview took place last November 2022. So I hope you enjoy it. Thanks again for listening. So glad to have you here with me today. And I hope you stick around until noon. Okay, let's listen to the interview.
Reinstrom Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary is a just over 1,000-acre nature sanctuary here in Columbia County. Audubon New York uses it as our demonstration forest area, where we teach landowners how to manage their forests and how to do bird-friendly and wildlife-friendly and climate-friendly forest management on lands. We do landowner workshop, forester trainers, and general programs for the public to teach them about healthy forests and issues with the forests in the area.
Should have asked you to introduce yourself first.
My name is Dave Decker. I'm the land steward here at Reinstrom Hill.
So you said the landowners participate in your program to learn climate-friendlier or operation, I guess I could say.
Mm-hmm.
How, what's the protocol for them to participate?
So we'll hold events and they'll come if they're interested in forest management. People who own forests in the area will come and we'll talk to them about, you know, the proper techniques to do forestry,
mm-hmm.
where it's both, you know, optimal for, you know, birds and wildlife and climate, but will also provide some economic benefit for the landowner potentially. A lot of people need their land to earn money. So we try to make it as environmentally conscious as possible. And we also, you know, point people to foresters who have ethics and are trained to do bird-friendly forestry, and assist them sometimes in getting the funding. There's a lot of programs run through the state where they can get funding to do forest management on their land for birds and wildlife and to have a more sustainable and resilient forest through climate change.
These are a little more personal questions, I guess.
Okay.
Could you describe what your local favorite bird looks like and tell us why you like it?
Locally, one of my favorite birds is the ovenbird.
Ovenbird,
uh-huh. Yeah. It's a small forest-dwelling bird. It's one of our indicator species here at the sanctuary to show that our forests are becoming healthy and doing well.
Hmm.
It needs a big tract of healthy forest. They're pretty shy. You don't see them a lot of times, but you hear them a lot walking through the woods. They have a really distinct call where they say, teacher, 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 really loudly. It's a little brown.
With a dot
yep,
on the
dots
chest.
On its chest. It's interesting because even though it's a forest bird, it nests on the ground.
Oh, okay.
And makes a little, you know, pot-bellied stove oven type nest,
which
is where it gets
where
its name from. But it's rarely seen, but you hear it a lot walking through the woods.
I've only seen it once back in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any here, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe
in the springtime, you don't see them a lot, but you'll hear them walking through a nice forested area quite frequently.
So if we wanted to, well, you said it's hard to see it, but mm-hmm. if we wanted to see it, we should look at, like, the ground?
Yeah, so it forages along the ground, like going through the leaf litter for bugs and insects and worms and things like that. So it's mostly on the ground.
I see.
And short shrubs and things like that. In the deep in the woods.
And the voice, the chirp, would be the sign, so you kind of try listen
yep,
first.
Yep, listen first. You'll definitely hear it before you see it.
And then you can just kind of try to follow the
yep.
sound and look at the ground. That's how
mm-hmm.
you find ovenbird. That's very cool. How did you start getting into bird watching? Were you surrounded by when you're a child?
I grew up in the woods, in the Hudson Valley, and I was always exploring in the woods.
Mm.
And I ended up going to school for biology and traveled around doing different environmental jobs and throughout the country. And I always wanted to come back and work in the area where I grew up. So doing land management for birds and plants and things is something that I've always been interested in. And being outside and helping the environment is something that I've always liked to do.
What's your typical day look like here at the Rainstorm?
Oh, the typical day, it really depends on the season. So in the spring, we do a lot of bird monitoring. So we'll go out and in our management areas, we'll do bird surveys to make sure that the work we're doing is actually helping birds. So we're tracking to see that, like, the different types of management we do are getting the results we want, and the target bird species that we're aiming for are actually increasing in number. So that's a lot of the spring. And in the summertime, we do a lot of the vegetation monitoring, right? So in our forest management areas, we measure the trees that are there, see how they're regenerating, see how the forest is regenerating and responding to the treatments that we do and the management that we do. Again, to ensure that we know we're doing the right thing and that we're actually creating a benefit for the habitat there in the sanctuary.
I see. Is there like people without, like, community members
yeah.
without the background of the, you know, education in natural science or biodiversity,
mm-hmm.
like, is there any way we can, like, participate in one?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have a lot of birding programs here, especially in the spring. Mm-hmm. We definitely do volunteer programs where people can come out and help us do some of these projects each year.
Oh,
the forest
wonderful.
Management and some of the bird work, our bird survey work, if they're pretty good birders, you know. So definitely we really enjoy having community members come out and work with us and help us improve the sanctuary.
Oh, that's wonderful. Because I'm really, I guess, I've been doing the bird watching for like about 7 years,
mm-hmm.
but there's still a lot to learn. Like there's just so much to learn.
Yeah.
There's always, like you can't see what you don't know
mm-hmm.
if it's there. Think like you're surrounded by all these diverse,
mm-hmm.
you know, existence. But if you don't know, you can't see it. And sometimes I feel intimidated by not having the knowledge or not having the background and wanting to be involved and learn. But
yeah.
sometimes it just feels intimidating for like...
A lot of the programming that we do, especially on our bird, they're really geared towards beginners and people who don't have that vast knowledge.
Mm.
And so we can supply some of that and teach people techniques to learn how to use field marks to identify birds, different calls. And, you know, a lot of it with bird watching and is what habitat you're in. You know, the forest mm-hmm. birds are going to be different than the bird you see at the feeder on your backyard, which is going to be different than the birds that are along the river,
mm-hmm.
you know. So knowing how to tell the birds from each habitat, it can really narrow it down so you can really focus. It's like, all right, these forest birds, I know that in a forest like here at Rhynesham Hill, there's going to be these 6 or 7 species that are probably going to be the ones that I see the most or hear the most. And then you can focus and be able to, you know, listen to the calls, look at the pictures. So when you go out and look for them, you can really have a good idea of what you're going to see before you go. It makes it a lot easier that way to narrow your focus down to start anyway.
I see. And really narrowing it down to small number of species probably help us make
Yeah.
just feel like they're neighbors or something that
yeah.
feel maybe more attached to our local natural environment.
Mm-hmm. And it is one of the things, even the birds that we see every day, like the chickadees, the titmice,
mm.
their numbers are declining as well, and their ranges could be shifting as well through change.
Right, I see.
So there's always things that you can do to help and make a difference, like planting native plants in your backyard and leaving the dead flowers up so birds can come and get the seeds from them. Don't, you know, chop it down as soon as it dies.
Oh.
Leave some leaves out, you know, make a few brush piles. Those things can really help benefit the birds that you see every day in your backyard. Easy steps that you can do. Put decals on your windows so there's no strikes from the bird feeder and
right.
things like that. They're helping to protect the birds you see every day. And so you can really gain a good relationship with those species that way. And then when you want to move on, when you can go to a place like Rhynesham Hill and see that there's bigger things that people locally are doing for birds, you know, like forest management or, you know, habitat improvement projects that are helping some of those same local birds. Like you'll still see the chickadees and the goldfinches here. You'll recognize them from at home, but there you'll be able to add a few more species to your knowledge base, species like oven bird or wood thrush that these forests support, and you'll be able to hear in the woods throughout the area.
Wonderful. That answered actually the last question I had. The suggestion of one action that we can take right away to help birds survive climate change and thrive, but that's
yeah.
pretty much the answer.
Yeah, native plants are really important.
Native plants.
You know, try and prevent window strikes with decals or
decals
where you place your feeders. Make sure you clean your feeders regularly so there's no spreading of diseases. And, you know, leaving some leaves on your ground so that there's insects under that so birds can forage in that area. Leaving some brush piles around. Those are things that everybody can do in their yard to really help make a difference.
We've been having bear,
yeah,
you know, in the neighborhood, and I think
yeah.
they're coming to the feeders.
Yeah, so that is a big problem. You know, it's try not to recommend to put feeders up until later in November, but for that reason, for bears. But that's another good example of where if you have a native flower garden and you leave the dead plants up, they're full of seeds. So until while you're waiting to put your feeders up for the bears to move, you know, hibernate, you'll still have a food source for all the birds and the native plants. Well, they'll come and eat the seeds from those plants. It's kind of their natural bird seed.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's the native plants. So, you know, a lot of times it might be more attractive aesthetically to just like, oh, this plant is done flowering, let's cut it down. But if you leave those stems with those seeds, that'll allow you to put your bird feeders up later so you don't have the bear issues.
Oh, that's really great. Uninvited guests.
Yeah, that's a big problem in this area. It's good that the bear population is doing well. You know, we want to support all wildlife, but we do want to reduce those bear-human encounters.
The bear's been hanging out in our neighborhood. And
yeah.
One of them came and left. I think it had been, like, picking around somebody's garbage bag. And he brought it all the way to our backyard and left it there. And I had to clean up after him.
Yeah, they'll pull stuff to where they find a nice, safe, comfortable place. And that's where they'll go.
I guess our backyard is kind of comfortable.
Yeah,
compliment. Oh, wow. Thank you very much. That's really amazing. I have one last question. That's something that we saw. So we were walking down one of the paths.
Here.
And there are these like little, almost like squarish holes in the rocks.
In the rocks?
On the ground.
Yeah, like shale usually, but it's like, they look like, I mean, I don't know if it's something that would naturally form that way.
I mean, there is a chance that it was human made. You know, this entire area was a farm. Mm-hmm. So all the rock walls and stuff you see.
Oh.
So this was entirely clear at one point. There was no forest here.
It was
all farmland. So there's definitely evidence of people being all over the place. Like you can find random stuff out in the middle of the woods all the time.
Hmm.
But things like that, sometimes it's just, you know, that type of rock splits pretty easily and can get, you know, if there was a drop of water dripping there for 30 years or something like that, it can definitely make a hole like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't discount people since this whole area was farmed at one point.
It looks somewhat human-made.
Yeah,
it wasn't
it could be.
Can't an animal punctuate such hole?
No, I doubt it was an animal. It was probably either people or water.
People or water.
Yeah.
This hole's sanctuary property, it has the interesting history of the man that
the
left it to
man
the
who donated
Mr.
the
Ranchu.
Land.
Yeah,
he sounds like a real quite a character.
He was an interesting person. You know, he just bought up lots as they became available around his original piece of land. That's why it's so irregularly shaped. But yeah, he actually started to reforest it as soon as he bought it. Like, he wasn't interested in farming. He wanted it forested.
Hmm.
So he did plant a lot of trees and do a lot of things to reforest the property. But yeah, he was an interesting person who did, you know, created this great place for us to work and visit, so.
Okay, thank you. This was a mystery for us.
Yeah.
We've started seeing it, and we saw a bunch of them. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
That's something I noticed since I moved to the upstate. I only been here for 2 years, and I had lived in the city before that my whole life. And so now I'm like, my mind is blown all the time. It's like seeing a lot of things and knowing that I have no clue what they are. Which also means that there are a lot of things to learn, which is a lot of like fun that I can have from it. But
I've been up here in the woods my whole life, and there's still stuff like I see and have no idea. There's still a lot for all of us to learn. But yeah, it's hard to say sometimes whether it's natural or man-made, since people have been here for, you know, hundreds of years.
Right.
Are like in these spots, so you can really never tell sometimes. At least I can't. The geologist might.
Okay, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you, Dave Decker, for the time to speak with me. You can support his work at Rainstorm Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary by participating in their volunteer programs, where people can come and help them do some field work on the sanctuary. Also, you can attend other community programs and donate to the sanctuary from their website at New York, which is NY, I mean, ny.audubon.org/Rainstorm Hill, which spells RHEINSTROMHILL. Probably faster to just Google Rainstorm Hill Audubon Center and Sanctuary, and you'll find more information on their website. The sample audio I played during the interview, the audio of Ovenbird, was from Stokes Field Guide to Birdsong's Eastern Region by Lang Elliott with Donald and Lillian Stokes. Why don't we listen to it again so we know when we hear it and that we know where to pay attention? I mean, it's going to be spring soon, so we should get ready for it. Let's listen to Ovenbird.
Ovenbird.
Didn't see you fly. So I lived in near the woods and about a block or two away from the water. So I write a lot of songs about birds. There's birds are always tweeting in my window, and I have a lot of time by myself. Think about things.
We heard a song called Bluest Bird by Allison Callery. You're listening to Waveforms WGXC Radio. This program is Beakwency. It's a mix of beak and frequency, and it's a radio show all about birds and local bird people here in Greene and Columbia counties and surrounding areas. In February, there's an event coming up called Great Backyard Bird Count. It was launched in 1998 by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology and National Audubon Society. And this year it's happening on February 17th to 20th. It says here on the website, over the 4 days, we invite people to spend 15 minutes or more in their favorite places, watching and counting as many birds as they can find and reporting them to us. These observations help scientists better understand global bird populations before one of their annual migrations. You can find more information at www.birdcount.org. Birdcount, one word, .org. And local participation-wise, Allen DeVoe Bird Club in Columbia County has doing a bird walk open to public, the Great Backyard Bird Count Bird Walk, on Saturday, February 18th. Takes place starting at 8 a.m. to until 10 a.m. at Ohms Conservation Area in Chatham. The walk is hosted with Columbia Land Conservancy. You can find more information at allandevoebirdclub.org. Allen, A-L-A-N, Devoe, D-E-V-O-E, Bird Club, allandevoebirdclub.org. That's all one word as well. Now, it's time for Birds of Waveform, January 2023 edition. Birds of Waveform is a field recording journal, or of attempt of it, from here at Waveform, which is located in Accra, New York. So, without further ado, why don't I just play it? Okay, let's listen to it. It's January 18th at Quay Farm, 2023. Very windy. And the sound of traffic is traveling really far today. And I hear it as if it's right there. I'm in the middle of the woods, surrounded by pine trees, and I thought I heard a bird chirping at first, but then realized it was not a bird, but it's the squeaks of trees, because it's so windy and they're shaking. No, I guess makes sense, because people make a bird call using the squeaks of wood and the metal parts, and that sounds like bird squeak. No birds in sight. There's no bird I can hear. It's all the squeaking. Surrounded by the squeaks of this tree. Z.
these trees. It is truly an unfortunate thing that the very first report, the very first record in the Birds of Wave Farm had to be a report of not seeing any birds, nor hearing any birds. But you know, I like how nature doesn't let me have my way. I have to be on its terms. Understand that the world doesn't exist for my convenience, nor for my silly little agendas. You know, be patient and humble, you know. So I came back this morning to the station here in Wave Farm, Acre, New York. Came back here kind of early in the morning and tried to record it. And I heard a lot of birds. I saw a lot of birds. But unfortunately, when I tried to transfer the recordings to my computer, it just like crashed my computer and the screen turned black. I'm grateful that I'm even able to do this show today. Somehow the computer came back in, you know, work in time, just in time. So you have to believe me when I say I saw 7 eastern bluebirds, and I think I saw like 3 goldfinch looking things. It was flying away from me, so I wasn't clear. 1 song sparrow, I saw 1 downy woodpecker, 1 Carolina wren. I heard a bunch of chickadees. I didn't hear them. I heard titmouse. I didn't see them. And I heard and saw blue jays. And there were 2 hawks that were like flying a little far away from me. I couldn't tell what kind of hawks they were. I do not have any audio proof of any of these sightings, unfortunately. But I'm going to try get them out from the recorders. And hopefully I can play it the next month. And I'm also posting the sounds and photos from here, Wave Farm, along with the show notes on my website, on the radio show's website, which is bequency.tumblr.com. Bequency, beak as a bird's beak, Wency from the frequency, bequency.tumblr.com. You can also email me at bequency@proton.me. That is the email address. proton.me. That's the email service that I'm using. If you have any suggestions for bird-related events in our local communities, which are Greene and Columbia counties and surrounding areas, or if there are any local bird enthusiasts that I should feature on this show, please feel free to reach out. Again, the email address is bequency@proton.me. Why don't we listen to some really amazing field recordings by a professional so that we can you know, truly enjoy the beauty of the bird sound. I'm going to play a couple of tracks from Birds of Venezuela, recorded by French ornithologist Jean-Serge Rocher. Hope you enjoy. These are truly, like, they truly blew my mind when I first heard them a few years ago. So I hope you stick around. Again, you're listening to Bequency on Waveforms WGXC Radio. Let's listen to Birds of Venezuela. Well, that's it for my show today. Thank you for listening to this debut episode of Frequency. You're listening to Waveforms WGXC Radio. Coming up next is The Countdown, hosted by Tom Rowe, so don't go anywhere. Again, this program has been Frequency, and I have been Mayuko. This show is on 4th Saturdays on the month at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, so I hope you'll be back to join me again. The next time is February 25th, again, 4th Saturday of the month. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful weekend.